James chapter 3, let's just read it the entire chapter. It says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that ye shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and is able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Now, continuing on in our study of the church covenant, we've come to the part that says for us to avoid all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger. Now, I lump all three of these together, and they did as well, because these have to do with self-control. It has to do with the mindset. It has to do with what comes out of the well of our heart. You know, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And our mouths tell the truth about what's on the inside. You know, if you want to get to know somebody, you ride with them on a long trip. You'll see so many different circumstances, and you'll get to find out how patient or impatient they are. You'll get to find out what they feel about certain subjects and things that happen. I love my son Timothy, okay? And he keeps telling me he's going with me out to get Garrett, and I keep telling him, no, he's not. Because he and I wouldn't get along the whole trip. I mean, I love him, and he loves me, but our opinions vary so widely on so many different things that somewhere or another, one of our mouths is going to get the other one mad. So it's not going to be a good thing if he does that. I can't seem to get that through to him. Maybe he'll listen to this message and understood what I was saying. I'd rather, you know, of course he's just wanting to go. It's not that he wants to go. He just wants to protect his little 63-year-old daddy because he's afraid for me to drive out there and back by myself. I don't think he's afraid I'll get lost. He's just afraid something will happen to me. And it might. Who knows? Point is, we all need to be people that are self-disciplined. We need to be people that have our lives, our mouths, our thoughts under as much control or under the control of the Holy Spirit as much as we can. So I just want to jump in. Let's just look at this for a little bit. The tattling and the backbiting kind of lump under one same heading. Tattling, folks, that's the Bible word called talebearer. Now, a talebearer is someone that bears tales. They like to tell things on people. They like to tell things, and sometimes they won't necessarily always be true. Sometimes they are true. They just like to tell stuff. What do we call that? A gossip. And then the other one is backbiting, and that idea is of biting from behind. talking behind people's back, saying things. The idea of backbiting is slander, slandering people. You know, Vicki and I were talking the other day. How long are the people up in the government going to be able to get by with all the slander and nobody gets put in jail or sued over that? How long are they going to be able to get by with the tail bearing and it turns out to be lies and falsehood and they've spent millions of dollars and nobody ever gets in trouble? It makes you think they're above the law, doesn't it? If you and I did the same things they did, we'd be in prison. You can't get by with those things. And then you go to excessive anger. Before I even get to preaching on these things, I want to tell you this. He didn't say that you don't get angry. There's not a person I know that don't get angry from time to time. I wouldn't give you a nickel for somebody that didn't have a little bit of a temper. I'd like to equate that to an axe or a knife or a machete. You take an axe that hasn't been tempered with water and fire, it won't hold an edge. And you take somebody that doesn't have a point that you don't pass or their temper comes out, they're going to be wishy-washy. They're going to go with anything. You know, you need to keep your anger under control. My daddy, he can get mad, but he doesn't get angry like he used to. He told me, he said one day, he said, I don't know what you did, but he said, I almost hurt you. I was so angry. And he said, when I caught myself almost hurting you because I was angry, he said, oh boy, you better get your temper under control. And he said, I haven't been that way since. Now, I've seen him angry, but I've never seen him with excessive anger. So, you know, the Bible tells us, be ye angry and sin not. So there is a way to get angry, but it's not excessive. You see, when it goes to the excessive part, it's when we lose self-control. You know, a good illustration of losing self-control, I've never worked in a nursing home, but I have known men that all their life they were complete gentlemen. They never said a cuss word. They were never untoward toward members of the opposite sex. But you know, so sometimes we come to that point in life where we're so elderly and we're no longer in self-control the way we once were. And I have seen those men say things that you'd never heard them say before. And it's because their mind is not able to control itself anymore. Vicki's grandpa, she said, he said stuff I'd never heard him say. And I said, baby, that's if he was in his right mind, if he was under control, he wouldn't say those things. And then they, you know, they do things that they shouldn't. They call them dirty old men. Now, I got news for you. You ladies do the same thing. But we call them dirty old men. They wouldn't have done that if they had themselves under control for anything in this world. So that's what happens. We've got to learn to control our minds, to control our thoughts, to control our tongue. And he says here, we just read it, no man can contain the tongue. But guess who can? God. God can contain it. He can control it. So all what you and I need to learn from this today, if you don't get anything else, get this. The Bible says in Galatians, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if we'll concentrate on walking in the Spirit, you're being as self-controlled as you possibly can be because you're exercising self-control and you're allowing the Holy Spirit to take control. So let's just look at some of the Bible verses today. I'm going to do a lot of, you don't have to stay up with me because I got them written down. But let's equate the first two to gossip and slander. And let's see what the Bible has to say. The Bible clearly forbids gossip, doesn't it? Leviticus 19:16a, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Psalm 15:1-3 says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Verse 3 says, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. The one he's saying here we shouldn't be gossips. We shouldn't be talebearers. We shouldn't be slanderous when it comes to our brothers and sisters or anybody else for that matter. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. James 4:11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. Let's just stop for a second. People like to gossip, don't we? We gossip over the back fence. And ladies, when I was growing up, I heard it say, well, they're just a busybody. Well, that's a part of gossip. They're just always in everybody's business. They just gossip. I got news for everybody in here. Men are just as big a gossip as the ladies are. If I ever wanted to know anything, just go to the barbershop and sit there all day long. Now, this was back before COVID put it where you couldn't have people in there. But if you wanted to hear stuff going on, just go to the barbershop. And every man in there's got something to tell on somebody about doing something that they shouldn't have been doing. And usually, isn't that what gossip is? We don't spread the good stuff. We spread those things that are not good, which are slanderous in a way. We like to hear the dirt, don't we? I mean, to be honest, isn't that what the sin nature likes to hear? Like to hear it. You come in from work, your wife says, what happened today at work? She don't want to know what you did. She wants to know what you heard. She knows your job. She knows you're an electrician and you do electrical work. She wants to know what kind of stuff you know that she doesn't know. And your husband do the same thing. Well, how'd your day at work go today, sugar? Well, let me tell you what I heard around the water fountain here. Scuttlebutt's what the military calls it. Gossip. Let's go on. Peter, 1 Peter 2:1, wherefore lay aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speaking. The Lord forbids gossip. Why do we gossip? We need to ask ourselves the question, does this do anybody any good? Is this going to benefit anybody? Does this help anybody? And here's the bad thing about it. When we tell this tale, when we become a tale bearer, I'll do it this way. I could come up with a very short story. I could go over here and whisper it to this young man. He could whisper it to her, and he could go all the way around the room. And I guarantee you, when it gets back to me, it doesn't resemble anything like what I told him. That's the bad thing about telling tales. Because you never get it exactly like it was told to you. Or you'll put something into it because you read something into it, and it just makes it that much bigger. So the best thing to do is let it stop. Don't ever start it in the first place. And if it comes to you, either don't listen to it or don't spread it. What we need to do, listen, is that not what our media does today? They take something and they make it worse than it was. And that irritates us to death, doesn't it? Used to, it was just the facts. Chet Huntley and David Brinkley, Walter Cronkite, they just did the facts. There was this many people died in this explosion. We don't know what happened yet. When they find out what happened, they told us what happened. They didn't put their little innuendos into it. They didn't put their feelings into it. They had very little commentary. They just reported what happened. I remember David Brinkley and Chet Huntley every night on, was it NBC? Either that or ABC, because we couldn't get CBS. Walter Cronkite was 12 or 3, I don't remember. The point is, it was during the Vietnam War. Every night they would say, this many soldiers were killed, and that's all they would say. They didn't try to badmouth it. They just got the facts. They didn't even say whether it was Marines, Army, Navy, or Air Force, National Guard, or what. They said this many soldiers was killed in action. That was it. That was the conclusion. They didn't spread any kind of gossip or lies. They just reported the facts. So God forbids gossip. It's unloving and destructive. Tale-bearing and backbiting is not loving your neighbor like you love yourself. It's not. It can be very destructive. You see, some of Saul's men spread rumors that David wanted to kill him. 1 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 9. And David said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, behold, David seeketh thy hurt. They spread the lies. They spread the gospel, the gossip. And it, you know, Saul, instead of going to David and said, are you trying to kill me? He believed it. And that made him mad at David. Psalm 38:12 says, they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all day long. They spread lies and gossip and rumors. They say things behind my back that are not true. Folks, we need to be the type of people that wouldn't say anything behind someone's back that we would say right to their face. If you won't say it to their face, then don't say it behind their back. Because if you can't say it to their face, you shouldn't say it at all. Psalm 41 and 7, all that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. Proverbs 11 and 9, a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. Proverbs 11 and 13, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Do you know what happens with a secret? You get told a secret. Some people keep them. The wise people keep them. But you know what others do? They tell their 6 best friends. And guess what those do? They tell their 6 best friends. And the story just gets distorted the farther away it goes. So keep a secret. Gossip can undermine and destroy friendship. Tattling, backbiting. Something just hit me about tattling. Most of us, when we think of tattling, we think of a tattletale, right? You teach your children not to be tattletales. The difference between a tattletale and someone presenting just information is this. A tattletale does it to get somebody in trouble. That's their whole goal. You know, if let's say I got a sister, and I do, and I wanted to get her in trouble, then I'll find something and I'll go tell on her. And I'm doing that to get her in trouble. That's wrong. But if I know my sister is about to smoke dope, and I go tell mom because I want to protect her, I'm not trying to get her in trouble. I'm trying to keep her from going down the wrong road. I'm not tattletaling there. See, there's a difference. Gossip, we're just spreading it. But when I go to somebody and I report, hey, I'm afraid this is about to happen, you're trying to protect that person from themselves. You're trying to protect them from doing something that they shouldn't, that's going to get them in trouble, then that's informing. That's not tattletale and that's not gossip. That's informing. There's a big difference. Gossip undermines our spiritual, or it destroys friendship. Proverbs 16 and 28. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Proverbs 17 and 9. He that covereth the transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. You know what? Let's just stop here and say this. Do you realize there are some things out there that are just as true as the day is long? But just because something is true don't mean you have to tell it. You know, I know it's true that I'm not the best looking man in the world. I look more like Oliver Hardy than I do some Madonna's. But you don't have to tell me. Even if it is true, you don't have to tell me, Brother Bobby, you're fat. I know I'm fat. You don't have to tell me I'm fat. You don't have to spread that around. It's the truth. People say, well, it's the truth, so I can tell it. Use your common sense. Use a little wisdom. Ask yourself, do I really need to tell this? Do I really need to tell the truth when nobody's even asked me? Is it going to help this person or hurt this person? You know, they may be 40 years old and sleeping with a teddy bear. Whose business is that? It's the truth, but do you have to tell it? No. That person don't want you telling that. And I guarantee you, if you've got a friend that's 40 years old still sleeping with a teddy bear, you want to lose that friend, you spread that around. You just lost a friend. All because something was true, but you didn't have to say it. So be careful. Be wise. Gossip undermines our spiritual defenses and victory. Another thing I want you to see, I got to get to anger pretty quick. God, every gossip must answer to God. Every one of us are going to give account of the words and the deeds that we've done. The Lord doesn't bless gossip. The Lord blesses truth. Ask the Lord for the spiritual maturity, not to gossip, and to avoid those that do. Ask Him to give you some insight into what you should tell and what you shouldn't tell. And when you should tell it. Big difference. It takes maturity to know the difference between reporting a serious wrong and gossiping and tattling. Maybe we need to ask ourselves, what's my motive in what I'm doing? Am I as guilty as they are of something just as bad? Or am I trying to exalt myself by putting somebody else down? Am I understanding and forgiving, or do I just want to spread this because I've been hurt? Are you perhaps trying to get back at the other person? Folks, the Lord sees and understands every one of these situations. And we need to understand that He doesn't want us being talebearers, and He doesn't want us to be backbiters. My mama used to say it this way: if you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. Period. Do you realize, as a preacher, at some funerals, I am put in a very bad position? Because there are some people that have been just that bad. I'm sorry. But I don't want to say anything that's going to destroy the family. On those people that I don't know a whole lot that I can say, I don't say much. I tell those people, you know this person. You remember those memories. You remember those good times. And I leave it at that. Because there's no reason, you know, what good would it do if I got up there and said, well, this was the lyingest, cheatingest, sorriest person that ever walked on the face of the earth. It's true, but do I need to say? Give some wisdom. He understands. Idleness leads to gossiping. What about the anger? What about the anger? And you say, Brother Bobby, you hadn't even talked about the verses that you've read. You're right. I haven't. But they sure talk a lot about taming the tongue and exercising self-control, doesn't it? Talks about how fierce the tongue can be. A little bitty spark starts a fire that burns thousands of acres. A tongue can set that same thing on fire. A tongue is like, you know, it's very powerful. It builds up and it tears down. And what we need to do is not be the person that tries to have that good water and salt water coming out of the same spring. We ought to always be those people whose tongues are used to build up, to edify, to encourage, to promote the cause of Christ, and never to tear down someone else. Never to destroy a reputation. What was it in World War II? Loose lips sink ships. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Once it comes out of this mouth, you can't reach out and grab it and take it back. If you've spread a lie, you won't get it back. It's just going to go from there. It's just going to get worse. So be careful. Follow the guidelines there. Look what he says. Do what he says in the book of James. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus said. Now what about anger? Folks, anger. He says, be ye angry and sin not. The idea there to me is get angry at the things that God gets angry at. If God is angry at something, we can be angry at it. You know, it's like I've told you before. It's not the person so much that I'm angry at. It's what they did. It's what they did. As a school teacher, and there's several school teachers in here. You've got kids that they make you angry. But it's not the kid themselves. It's their mouth. It's their actions. It's what they did. And the best thing you can do is not have excessive anger. Do your best not to get angry at them. You know, we need to look at people and put ourselves in their shoes. There have been several times that my wife has come and said, this kid has changed. They're not the sweet kid that they once were. What's going on? And I may know. And all I can tell her is they're having problems at home. That explains a whole lot right there. And that would keep you from getting angry because you know the situation and you know this kid's acting up, not because of you, but because of things that are going on at home, and they're just looking for people to help them. A wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but a fool is hot-headed and reckless. A quick-tempered man does foolish things, and a crafty man is hated. Proverbs 14. It is a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. You know, some people have a short fuse, and they get mad in a hurry, and they get really mad in a hurry. What did your mama tell you when you were growing up? Count to 10. And my mama, she knew, let me tell y'all something. Old Bobby has a very quiet, quick temper. My family is shaking their head yes. And old Bobby, if he doesn't control it or let the Lord control it, has a very violent temper. I can get angry just that fast over nothing. I'm bearing my soul to you. Y'all haven't seen that anger. Praise God, I've been able to keep, you know, with His help, I've been able to keep it under control. But my family sees me lose control every once in a while. And I can get angry, and I can get angry in a hurry. But I need to be, you know, I need to keep that under control, don't I? Mockers stir up a city, but wise men turn away anger. An angry man stirs up dissension, and a hot-tempered one commits many sins. Proverbs 29 and 22. Do you know who you're hurting when you get mad? Yourself. I've seen people get mad at somebody over something that didn't amount to a hill of beans, absolutely almost have a stroke or a heart attack with their anger, and swell up like a big old toad and stay that way for a month. And the other person didn't even know they were mad. Now guess who they've hurt this whole month? They hadn't hurt this other person because they didn't even know they were mad. They've been living their life happy, go lucky, and enjoying life, and this other one over here just seething all the time, just mad. Just mad at the whole world. Just angry. If it goes long enough, they'll forget what it was even about. Listen, I know kids who got mad at their parents, and 40 years later, they don't even remember what they were mad about, but they hadn't seen their parents, and their daddy would die, and he wouldn't even come to the funeral. Now, who did they hurt? You say, well, you hurt the parent. No, you hurt yourself. Yeah, you broke the parent's heart, but you hurt yourself because you've got to live with the fact that you cheated yourself out of 40 years of a relationship that you can never go back and regain because daddy's dead. Anger hurts you. The best thing you can do is not get angry in the first place, but if you do, deal with it. The Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let the sun go down on your anger because it hurts you. It keeps you from fellowshipping with the Lord. Now, I've got a lot more that I could say, but I'm not. But anger grieves God. We need to learn what to be angry at and what not to. We need to let the Holy Spirit help us get our tongues and our attitudes and our anger under control. Self-control, folks. This world don't know what that is anymore. People nowadays are just doing that which is right in their own eyes, and they're not trying to control themselves at all. I admire the police officers that stand there while somebody's screaming in their face and they don't do anything. That's self-control. We need that.